It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio set to join us as we preview Bills Dolphins. Happy November 1st. Sal, did you get up and say rabbit, rabbit?
Yes, I did.
Of course he did. He never misses that. Have you ever missed it? You've never missed it. My bad.
Sure, yeah. Sometimes I do. But what happens is Yana usually wakes up before me, and she says it, and then she kind of says it to me, and then I say it, and then we make sure Max says it before he gets up. So then we out, and today, and that doesn't always happen, so today the whole family did it. So good luck coming for the month of November, hopefully.
Very good.
Good fortune.
Very good. How was Halloween? Record-breaking temperatures, beautiful scene. I saw you tweeted out a video, just awesome.
Yeah, listen, right around in my neighborhood, I say this all the time, like it is just about two blocks from my street. We have decent traffic at my house, not a ton, but like right around the corner, it is just awesome. And it really is something almost out of a movie, like where you see trick-or-treaters and parents everywhere and strollers. And it's awesome. And last night, because it was so hot, in fact, so Max's costume this year was like an inflatable, right? He's really good. He actually won a costume contest at his school, and he's this big inflatable. I guess it's a character from a video called Fall Guys. I've never played the video game. It's pretty popular. I guess some people knew it. I didn't know. Anyway, but by the end of the night, like, he was too hot, had to take it off. I mean, what a change. Last year it snowed on Halloween, to be honest with you. So it was great. We had a great time. Good candy haul and home just in time to watch the football game. So that was great.
Yeah. On the football game, Sal, what'd you think of Garrett Wilson's one-handed catch? An amazing catch. It is one of those funny moments, though. Joe and I already had some fun with it, about the idea that one foot and one shin before knee is inbounds. And, you know, always with these catches, I mean, these guys obviously have so much talent, and it speaks to the fine lines between catches and non-catches, or possession and non-possession. But a great catch by Wilson, and the Jets were by far the better team in that game. So not a coincidence, and, you know, they saved their season in a way that Miami will probably hope to this weekend as well.
Yeah, a couple things on the game itself. So, you know, going in, yesterday I tweeted a poll, like, who would you rather see win, the Jets or the Texans? And most of my responders on X said Texans, but it was kind of funny. There was a big, like, I don't know how anybody could choose the Jets here, or I don't know how anybody could choose the Texans here. You got to win your division. I mean, I think you can make a case for both. Of course, it helped the Bills by, you know, seeding-wise, but I don't think you want to give the Jets life just in case anything would happen, any sort of injury or something where, you know, look, the Bills overcame a three-game deficit with five to play last year. You got to win your division first. Now, I don't think the Jets are going to catch the Bills, so yeah, you'd love to bury them, but if you look at their schedule, there is opportunity for them. I don't think you want them to start to heat up a little bit, because then they become a little live, right? And you're like, eh, I mean, they didn't play very well last night, and they still wound up winning the game. But on the Texan side of things, that's because, boy, I don't know what they're going to be going forward, guys, with their injuries, with the Stephon Diggs being out. They're starting to get a little bit banged up on defense. C.J. Stroud was not very good last night. They were not the same team they were when they played the Bills. I mean, I don't think they were great when they played the Bills. The Bills just didn't play very well. But it just feels like they're just not the same team now as they were to start the season. It is interesting. So, and then the other part is this catch. So this is the second time in a week we saw a player get the same foot down and then go out of bounds. Now, in this case, he got the shin, right? So I get it. He was ruled in. But initially, he was ruled out because he had 2 feet down, but not both feet down.
Yep.
The rule says both feet. The first one was George Pickens on Monday night. When that happened, guys, I went into the Bills' locker room on Wednesday, and I asked a bunch of DBs and wide receivers, did you see the George Pickens catch, no catch? And it was really very predictable that the wide receivers are like, how is that not a catch? That's got to be a catch. And the DBs are like, no, you got to get both feet down. And it was great watching some of them debate each other about it. Yeah. Right. And I asked, I mean, I'll just give you a couple of anecdotes. KJ Hamler was like beside himself. He had no idea that that wasn't even a catch. He's like, what are you talking about? I showed him the video. It's like, how is that not a catch? I'm like, well, KJ, here's the rule. And then Cam Lewis is like, yeah, KJ, dude, like, you got to get both feet down. And they were having a good debate. Taron Johnson he not only, he's like, yeah, of course. Like, you got to, of course you got to get 2 feet down. One of the coolest parts was, now I know I'm getting old, because I explained to Taron Johnson that years ago, there used to be a rule where if the receiver caught it, but you pushed him out and the referee deemed he would have come down in bounds,
yeah,
that they would give it to you. Jeremy, I'm not kidding, Joe. Like, the reaction of Taron Johnson to me explaining that to him was unbelievable.
His jaw drops.
He could not believe. Yeah. Yes, he could not believe that was truly a rule in the NFL at some point in his life.
The force out?
Yep.
Yes, it was unbelievable.
It was a judgment call for the official. 2008. Yep.
Yeah.
As recently as 2008. Yeah.
Like, I would have been with Taron Johnson. How was that in play until 2008?
He didn't believe me. He thought I was joking at first. I'm like, yeah, no, this is like what the rule was.
My biggest problem now, Sal, is like that touchdown last night. I actually don't have mind at counting because his shin is down. I can freeze frame a spot where the shin is down, the knee isn't, and he's in bounds with the foot. It's a touchdown. But I just now am met with this what I think is an inconsistency where the toe and the heel are different than the shin and the heel, because a guy's toe can be down, two toes down on both feet, and we can't freeze frame that because we have to wait to see if the heel comes down. But on the other hand, we don't have to wait to see if the knee comes down with the shin. Like, we're separating body parts here and deciding what counts as a body part, what doesn't.
That's right. So what's funny is Mac Hollins actually said to me, he said he had a catch taken away one time because he had two toes down, but then his heels came down out of bounds after that. And he was actually like, hey, that's the rule. Like, I don't like the rule either, but that is the rule. So that was a great catch.
I remember there was a Peerless Price catch at the stadium where that happened, where he was standing on his toes, caught it, and heels came down, and they ruled it out. And
if you catch a ball and you run on your tippy toes all the way to the end zone, does it count?
Yes, I think the third foot would count.
That's just like what we got into with me explaining this other thing and looking at this George Pickens was, if you catch the ball on one leg, with 1 foot down, and a DB grabs your other leg, and you just start hopping 10 times down the sideline with one foot, you're still not in.
Yeah. So the question is, Sal, like, the way that this normally happens, okay, hey, we got a thing that popped up, and it looks kind of inconsistent with what we want. Would one team make a proposal and then the league decides if they want to take it on and say, like, okay, sure, the same foot twice is the same as 2 feet? It doesn't seem like a very big leap, and no pun intended. And if owners or the competition committee wanted to get that through, that is a very non-radical change to say that 2 feet equal 2 feet.
I would not be surprised if we see some sort of proposal like that soon. Maybe not. There may be like, hey, no, it's the rule. It's the way it works. And, you know, we're cool with it. But yes, that's how it would work. You'd have one team bring it to the competition committee. There'd be a discussion. And then they would decide eventually if there's enough there to bring it to the owners' meetings. A lot of time these things are discussed and they just never go past that. So that's exactly how it would work. And then, you know, we'd find out what they would think. And they could say, well, we'll revisit it or we'll try it in the preseason. But yeah, that's exactly how it would work.
All right. Sal, let's get to the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. For this week's game against Miami, we know the Dolphins injury report is lengthy. The Bills has a lot of names on it. Where do we stand tracking injuries heading into Miami?
All right. Well, yesterday, really no change in status for the two Bills players. I think a lot of us are more monitoring, which is Terrell Bernard and Amari Cooper, even Curtis Samuel. All three were limited yesterday. So Amari Cooper has a wrist injury. He's been limited 2 days in a row. And he is doing the pre-practice period. He is catching balls during that. I don't see him doing a lot after that. But no, we have to leave as far as the media. But even like running with, you know, quarterback throwing to receivers, like, it didn't seem like he was doing a lot there. I didn't like track necessarily numbers of times he caught a ball. Somebody told me they didn't see him catch one pass from Josh Allen, which is possible. I mean, because Josh throws the ball hard, right? So, you know, maybe, you know, holding off on that. But we'll see. Does that mean anything? I don't really know. We'll find out more today from Sean McDermott. Terrell Bernard still limited with the ankle injury, still listed with ankle and pec, but it's really the ankle injury. And then same thing with Curtis Samuel with his pec injury. He's been limited. Reggie Gilliam, I wonder if he got was injured on Wednesday during practice at all, because he was limited and then he did not practice at all on Thursday with his hip injury. So that's something to keep an eye out. That's not trending very well for him. And then the other only other person is, oh yeah, there was a scare yesterday. We were there and Brandon Codrington actually slipped and he ran in, he ran into Ray Davis when he slipped on a kick return drill, and the media there thought that like Ray Davis might have like taken the brunt of it, but Codrington was down for quite a while. Trainers looked at him, he got up, he went over. They did some like stability drills, I think, with it looked like for his knee. But guys, he showed up as a full participant. He was already on the injury report with a hip, then knee was added, but full participant. So I guess that's all from all of that. There's a lot there, but I'm not sure where everything stands with Cooper or Bernard or Samuel. But I mean, we'll find out today from Sean McDermott, obviously.
And Benford with the wrist sale, like if he were to be,
oh, yeah.
If he were to be, you know, at any risk of anything or playing through something, like he's been. I try to mention him once in a while. I feel like his ascension, maybe this year or even in the last 2 years, is starting to get to. Maybe nearing number one corner territory. Whenever you see these charts, like separation prevented or coverage grades, whatever, like he's always right at the top of the league. And maybe he's starting to get more recognition on that front, but he's such a good and important player that any injury, I think, to him would definitely be notable.
No doubt. And like I heard in your update, you know, he showed up in the injury report, and the same thing yesterday. And then I had to correct myself. He actually was on the injury report already on Wednesday with a wrist injury, but he was a full participant. And then yesterday he went from full to limited. So did they just back off him? Did something happen at practice where, you know, that it caused him to be limited? Did he have some sort of setback and some sort of whatever was happening? I don't know. I'm going to wait today to hear, you know, we will from Sean McDermott, but you're right, Joe. I mean, if anything were to happen to him, that's a big blow. They have two good corners. They have Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford. They're both very different the way they play, but their style fits them. He's just so steady and consistent, and technique-wise, it's great. And, you know, he's not the risk-taker Rasul is, and Rasul is, but it works out for him because, you know, he's just he's so great at reading everything, but they're so different. And this is a game where your corners are going to be important, obviously. You have two good receivers coming in, and the Dolphins are going to want to get rid of the ball very quickly. So, yeah, we'll monitor Christian Benford today. It is important to note, though, he was already on the report with a wrist injury. He just went from full to limited. The other thing that was interesting to me, guys, is Amari Cooper, he wasn't in a red non-contact jersey. You know, if you have a wrist injury and you're limited a couple days, that to me, you might think that, but he wasn't. So, you know, maybe that's an encouraging sign. Again, we'll find out a lot more today.
Sal Capaccio joining us ahead of Bills Dolphins. You can give us a call, 803-0550.
On the Dolphins side, what do you think is the most important injury to track there?
It's Zach Sealer, and I think he's maybe their best defensive player at this point, and he has a broken orbital bone. He got hurt during practice last week, late in the week, didn't play, and he's still out with the eye injury. It's not looking good for him. After 2 days, he hasn't practiced there. You could say Javon Holland. He's obviously a very good player as well. You know, I don't disrespect that, but I think Sealer is maybe their best front seven guy right now, and Javon Holland is probably their best back seven guy right now, to be quite honest, and neither has played yet this week, and Holland's coming back. He had a hand injury. Now he's got a knee injury. He hasn't practiced a couple days in a row. Kader Kohu, he didn't practice 2 days in a row with a neck injury. That's a guy the Bills have kind of picked on anyway in the past, right? But you're testing depth now. If you don't have Kader Kohu, then you're dipping more into your corner position, and I guess that was a spot that really, you know, that hurt the Dolphins last week because of the injuries. So, you know, there's some guys there. Terron Armstead, you know, he did go to limited. Usually that's the case with him, you know, as he's a little bit older of a player, and they give him a little time here as things are going on. And then Tyreek Hill, it's interesting. He had a vet rest day on Wednesday, and then on Thursday he was limited, and foot was added to the injury report. So read into that what you want.
All right. The Dolphins, Sal, coming into this game, where do you see their offense as a threat? Like they have a great reputation. Beginning of the year last year, they were unbelievable, and there's that month stretch with Tua being out where they just couldn't do anything. But I was, you know, been digging into some of the numbers on that. Like even the last 8-9 games that Tua has played, they have not been the same. They're averaging 19 points per game in his last 9 starts, and they've only scored more than 20 once in his last 6. There are more way in depth ways to analyze their offense, but what's kind of your thought on them as an overall threat offensively at this state?
Yeah, I agree, Joe, and I've thought about this where like I like Mike McDaniel. I think he's a brilliant offensive mind. But I do think that the league's caught up to what he did and what he when he came into the league and even last year and beginning of the year and how great they were. It's great to be a great mind. We've seen this happen in the NFL before with other, you know, offenses and Sean McVay, right? All, you know, taking the league by storm. And then, you know, these defensive coordinators are really, really smart and they get paid a lot of money. And once you get some film out there, you start to figure it out a little bit. And really the key to being a successful coach and a really good coach isn't just having a brilliant mind to design plays. It's then adjusting and tweaking it and coming up with new ways to make sure that you can maximize, you know, what you're trying to do. It just feels like they have not been able to do that in a while. And I would say, too, that even though Tua has been, you know, healthy during that time period you talked about, like now, like last week when he came back, he had the concussions, he comes back. Now they're even getting rid of the ball quicker. Last week, he had the lowest time in the league to throw. That's because they're getting rid of the ball because they don't want him to get hit, I think. Right? So that also kind of, where's the explosive plays then? Now, he did have a nice yards per attempt because he can get it to guys. They can run after the catch. But, you know, you're limiting their explosion down the field. So I think that's where I'm at with it, which is it was really nice when he came in the league. Like, oh, my God, look at this. I mean, he knows how to run offense. It's the same thing with McVay and Kyle Shanahan, that whole tree. But haven't we seen with all of those coaches, like after a while, it just kind of wears off and the league kind of figures it out and they have to figure other ways out to do things. And it doesn't seem like it translates after that. So I think that's really kind of what it is. And then, you know, the details sometimes, right? I mean, it's great to be a brilliant mind and details, the penalties and little things that go wrong in key situations that just don't get you to where you need to go at the end of a game.
Right. Well, that comes down to then how do you counter? Because that Playmakers podcast that we all listened to last year,
yep,
part of that was McVay talking about how in the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, Belichick figured him out.
Yeah.
Belichick figured out how to stop them with Goff, and he knew after the next year where the rest of the league started doing the same thing, I needed to pivot and do something different, which is when they traded for Matthew Stafford.
But the funny thing about that is so they figured out Goff, and one of the things about Goff was he couldn't throw under pressure, and now
he can.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So
that is funny.
Ben Johnson has had some answers, and, you know, will somebody else figure that out along the way? You know, there's X's and O's, and then there's Jimmy's and Joe's, as they say. And it was McVay saying that this quarterback, he has a flaw, and he was not wrong. He went out and got Stafford, and they won it. And, you know, someone else found Goff and has turned him into an MVP candidate. So it is fascinating to think about that way. McVay got figured out for a little while, then he gets Puka Nacua, and all of a sudden, like, bang, perfect fit. Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua. You know, you could say this about Ken Dorsey, right? Dorsey, when he started with the Bills, was amazing. And then all of a sudden, they had answers for him, and he lost his job as a coordinator. So it's cyclical in that way. It's kind of funny.
Do you think, Sal, that McDaniel's job is on the line? Like this year, even this, maybe not this week, but like in the next month, if it starts to go off the rails?
Well, he just signed a contract extension before this season. Now, granted, you can do that and still fire somebody, right? Of course, we've seen that in sports before. But I think that they really want to be in it long term and really feel that he's, you know, relatable to the players and the kind of culture that he's built. I think that, you know, they like that part about it. But I don't know how you can't examine it if it continues to go this way for them. I think you have to take a look at it. Honestly, the guy that I think that would be more in the crosshairs there might be their GM, Mike Greer. Chris Greer.
Yeah,
his brother's the GM of the San Jose Sharks. So I think that that would be maybe the guy that you'd look at next, because it feels to me like Stephen Ross, you know, maybe that's the next lever to pull, so to speak, with what they're trying to do here, because it has not gone great. And maybe just the roster isn't quite what Mike McDaniel needs now to have that next iteration of his offense.
There's also, in terms of coaches that could or would get fired, there's this one big piece out there that might, if he gets back in the coaching game, Belichick. Some coaches that might not get fired might get fired for Bill Belichick if he just decides, like, I'd like to coach your team. You know, he didn't get picked. I know he didn't get picked up, but if a team, like Sal, you're saying they might fire the GM.
Yeah.
An owner that decides, you know what, I'd be willing to give up a coach and a GM, or I'm seeking someone that I would give power of my organization over to. Like, I mean, Stephen Ross was going for Brady. I mean, Dallas is a candidate here. Mm-hmm. The Jets have been named here, although he hates the Jets, Belichick does.
Do we think that's changed because of his media stuff? Like, when he didn't get a job, we kind of, I don't want to say we buried him, but we kind of talked about how, like, oh, this is just the league doesn't want a coach with that much control. And he's become more likable like in my eyes, and he's out there in front of the public a lot. I don't know, though, how owners would feel.
I don't think so. I think it might come down to timing. Just all it takes is the one owner that decides, yes, I'm going to change GM and coach at the same time, and then that might be the perfect fit.
I think it's an interesting question, Joe. I will tell you this. I think it's calculated. I really do. I think he saw that nobody wants me. What are you talking about? Like, they don't want this grumpy, older coach who has not won a lot. He had the greatest quarterback in the world, and now when he's gone, like, nope, sorry. Didn't interview well. He wants it his way. I have my rings. You do what I want. I think Bill Belichick calculated. I think his agent, whoever, said to him, dude, you got to show that that's not you. You gotta go on TV, show your personality, be in front. Don't just go. If you go in hiding, you're not getting another job. You're going to be out of sight, out of mind. But if you are out there all the time talking about football, showing how smart you are, there's going to be an owner going, dude, like, yes.
And
that,
he is,
my God.
He is everywhere.
He's great at it.
He's really good, too. But yeah, he's got like six things.
Yes.
Six different shows.
But he's
at
great
least.
At it.
Shows.
But I do think an owner, like, yes, because I look at him that way. I don't own a team, but I'm like, look, I mean, like, he is showing that he knows football, and I love him in this role. I really do. I hope he doesn't go back into TV, because I enjoy listening to him. I enjoy watching him. I know it sounds dirty to say here in Buffalo, but it's true. Like, he's really good at it. And I'm telling you, there's a show called The Breakdown he does with Peyton Manning, and they do the Monday night game to preview because he's going to be on the Manning cast and all that. And it makes you smarter. And just on a basic level of football, if you want to learn more about football in a very nice, basic way, watch this show called The Breakdown with Bill Belichick and Peyton Manning. And he explains things just so well at a nice rudimentary level for everybody. It's really cool.
He's got a good,
and I think that's very likable about him.
He's got a good show on the CW, too, with Chad Johnson and Chris Long.
Like, is that the new Inside the NFL?
That's the new Inside the NFL, I think.
On the CW.
I forgot he's on that, too.
Yeah. Before we go, Sal, so next week, you're usually off on Tuesdays. Tuesday is the deadline. You think you're going to be called in? I mean, the Bills, of course.
I think it goes this way. Generally, I am off on Tuesdays. Generally, I go on these shows on Tuesday to talk, just to talk. So if you need me, yeah. All listen, right. I do. I think there's a move out there in some sort for the Bills. I do. I almost feel like it's so right there for them that maybe there's just one thing Brandon Bean needs to do. I don't know. I know that they're always looking, right? No, but I'll ask Sean McDermott about that today, and he'll say, yeah, of course, we're always talking and we're always trying to improve our football team. You don't do it for the sake of doing it, but it feels like it's right there. I mean, they're now the 3 seed in the AFC, and they have a chance to get to the 2 seed this weekend, right? And then you have Kansas City, and you are like right there again. It feels like there's got to be maybe something there. So I'm going to predict if the over-under is 0.5, I'm going to go over.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
The Extra Point Show coming up today on Fridays. Sal talks with Sean McDermott. Sal, you have a time for that yet? Sal, have a time for McDermott planned as of today? We'll get that.
I think it was 10:45 last week. It's usually what it's around, but we'll find out.
Okay, we'll find out. Stay tuned for that. Football Friday. Football Friday on WGR, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Hey, listen, sometimes Bills Mafia gets called on to come together and find a person, find an answer. Aaron Andrews and Carissa Thompson on their podcast are asking for help to find someone. And Bills Mafia, we'll just play the clip. And Bills Mafia, go to work.
According to Jillian and Kylie, one of the hottest guys they've ever seen in their entire life walked in to the elevator with his mother, and they were talking about going to the game. And Jillian said to me, I needed you so bad in there to be my wingman and talk to him for me, because she was like, I can't say anything. And she goes, that was my husband. If you were at the Seattle
Four Seasons
on Sunday before the Bills Seahawks game, and you were in the elevator with two gorgeous women, can you DM the Calm Down podcast?
Yep.
Because apparently you are the future husband of our good friend and makeup artist. From Kylie, he had a mustache.
Whoa.
She would say 30?-ish, well-dressed, Bills fan, with mom and dad in Seattle.
All right, there you go.
All right.
I mean, we got to help.
That's the info we got.
We got to help. It's Aaron Andrews and Carissa Thompson, the Calm Down Podcast. So, Bills Mafia, guy, 30-ish, mustache, well-dressed, went to the Bills game in Seattle with mom and dad, stayed at the Seattle Four Seasons.
I think this is going to be a tough get. I think mustaches are in.
Sure, but
like the mustache part.
Guy with mom and dad in an elevator at the Four Seasons. That's not... How many of those are there?
A guy with his parents at the Four Seasons?
Yeah. A Bills fan in Seattle. This is not a Seahawks fan. There's about a thousand.
Right, but now he's here.
So how many... Maybe he lives in Seattle. Maybe he lives in California. Right. Who knows?
I see.
Yeah. Some Bills fan is going to know the Bills, the guy that went to this game.
Right, okay, that was at a four. Okay, I see what you mean. Yes.
How many people? How many Bills fans stayed in the Seattle Four Seasons ahead of this game with their mom and dad? Four?
Yeah, maybe two? Maybe a couple, but yeah.
So anyway, they're actively asking that you DM the Calm Down Podcast.
Okay.
This person might be
to make this match happen.
There's a what percent chance this person's listening right now? Like what? Oh.
Right. Well, how many people are now listening thinking, was that me? You said there are four people that were at the Four Seasons. Those four people would all be wondering, are they talking about me?
I mean, you have to be with your mom and dad in an elevator and have a mustache.
He's going to become the bachelor.
And basically. Be 30-ish.
Bill's Mafia Bachelor is what this is going to become.
I mean, I'm into it. Why not get invested in this?
Love is Blind, Bill's edition.
Well, I wasn't blind in this case.
Right.
Their makeup artist thought he was hot. I was not in Seattle. Couldn't be me. No, I... Also, not in the elevator with my mom and dad. I don't have a mustache only.
I regret not being in Seattle. That trip looked fun. I know there was some rain a little bit a couple days before, but seeing the pictures of all the fans there at the stadium after, friends that were like just doing stuff around Seattle. And the other realization is like, you only get that chance once every 8 years.
Yep.
The NFC trip, passing on it is tough because you don't have another chance for a decade. I think there's the 17th game thing that we have to figure out, I guess, for next year, what the rotation's going to be.
And next year's road trips.
Nothing?
Eh.
I did the New York one this year, so that one's out of the way. I don't need to do that again. I still want to do the Miami one, but I want a good month for that, not September. So what else do I got?
If you want to plan next year's road trips, here are your trips.
Because Seattle's going to be tough to top, I think.
There's a lot of potential for Bills fan takeovers. I'll say that. You got the three division games. And then you've got road games at Pittsburgh.
Okay. Never done that.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
The AFC South, same place finisher. That's probably another trip to Houston.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. No thanks. I think.
It might be Indy again. It's one of those two. It's not Jacksonville. It's not Tennessee.
Right. Right.
Then the NFC road trips are the two stadiums Josh Allen's never played in.
Carolina.
And Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
So those are decent trips. But
Atlanta.
None of those are Seattle.
No. Nothing top Seattle.
Seattle would be a great trip.
Not going to Seattle. I didn't. What would top Seattle?
Well, put it this way.
New Orleans would top Seattle.
And guess what?
Nashville top Seattle, I think.
New Orleans top Seattle. The Bills host New Orleans next year.
Oh.
So there's no New Orleans trip. There is a New Orleans trip maybe this year, though.
Oh.
You know, just saying. Maybe.
It's 100 days.
100 days to the Super Bowl?
Today's 100 days to the Super Bowl.
Are you thinking about it?
Yes.
How could you not?
I'm thinking about it.
Why should Bills fans not? I don't know. There might be some Bills fans that are caught up by Baltimore and thinking that's a bad matchup.
You might have to play them. They're weird in the playoffs. You might not have to play them.
And you might be fine if you played them. I mean, I truly think that the Bills today are a different team than they were when they played them offensively.
Although I say that, if the season ended today, they would play the Ravens in the first round of the playoffs. But you might not have to play them.
Because the Ravens are a wild card, because Pittsburgh's on top of that division.
Right, let's assume, we think Baltimore's going to win that division?
I do.
Okay, so Baltimore's going to get up and take that division. If the Bills can finish above them, let's even give the Chiefs the one seed, and you're the two, then it might be important who finishes higher between Houston and Baltimore. Because I know I'm getting way down the road here, but anybody in the world right now not think that Houston is a way more favorable matchup than Baltimore in a second-round playoff matchup? I know, again, I'm jumping so far ahead.
Yeah, but it's probably right.
Get me to a path where the Chiefs and Ravens are playing each other before I've got to see either one of them.
Right. Bills fans don't exactly, I shouldn't use a general umbrella term here, but there's a rivalry with the Ravens because of Lamar versus Josh and the MVPs. I don't think that's that crazy a take to say that, you know, you look at Lamar and feel like he got an MVP, Josh should have. If you were to say, which would you rather play in the playoffs, Stroud or Lamar, I think you would say Stroud.
I'd rather, yes.
Stroud is still very good and a very good young quarterback, but he has not exactly taken the step this year statistically or from a production standpoint. Like the Houston offense, everything you're saying about Miami, I feel like Houston's going through that too.
Yeah.
Their explosive plays are way down. They lose on the road to the Jets. They're down. They're two of their best receivers, so I get that. They couldn't protect Stroud last night. He was pressured on like half of his dropbacks. So now their offensive line looks like it might be a fatal flaw. And the offensive line, maybe you could cover up from that if you've got quick separators like Collins and Diggs, but they don't have those two. Collins will come back. And that's a candidate, Houston. They're down a receiver. Baltimore just added one. I'm not even sure they needed Deontay Johnson. They added him. So, yeah, I think you'd much rather play Houston in the playoffs than Baltimore.
You know who Houston plays this week, by the way? Next week?
Houston next week plays who?
Sunday night against Detroit.
All right. That's a loss for them.
I think that will probably be a loss for them.
Yeah.
Even with Collins back.
Yeah. 803-0550. Although Detroit's defense worth watching. They're a team to watch in the trade deadline because with Aiden Hutchinson out, they are not getting pressure on the quarterback. He was a one-man wrecking crew.
Yeah.
And now their quick pressure rate last couple games is way down. So Detroit will have to decide if they want to go heavy towards a pass rusher to help. The deadline is Tuesday. The deadline is Election Day.
Yes.
It's going to be a busy day. Tuesday next week.
Is there any trade that could steal the national headlines on Tuesday?
I don't think so.
What would have to happen?
Mahomes and Allen swapped.
If that there you go. If that trade happened on Election Day, would it get front page over the election?
No.
Mahomes for Allen straight up?
No.
Okay.
Messi announces he'll play football. American football. No, they wouldn't do it either.
That would get international news, probably.
803-0550, our phone number. It is Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We, of course, have Bills and Dolphins. Weather looks great. Nice day out at Highmark Stadium.
Should we guess what the fry boat's going to be on Sunday?
We know they're doing the...
We're going to have to do hot dog of the day tonight.
The tuna nachos. We will do the hot dog of the day.
Yeah.
Should we have a counter on how many more games we have at Highmark? I mean, we're in the final.
Well, we don't know exactly because of playoffs.
We don't know exactly, but you could pick a maximum number. Max number.
Right, there's a max right now.
There is a maximum number. Three playoff games is your maximum number. If you're the 2 seed, you host the first 2 rounds, the 1 seed gets knocked off, that's 3.
Okay, so that's 6.
Maximum 6 if they were to play 3 home games in the playoffs each of the next 2 years, which is unlikely.
Okay. And how many home they have left this year?
8 one, next year. Two, so that's 14.
Three, four, five.
We're at 19 maximum. If you're not counting preseason, I guess we could mix those in as well.
Maybe 20. I don't think they know what they're doing with the 17th game yet. Because they're done with the rotation. Like, I don't think they know what the 17th game is going to be next year. It used to be NFC, like you would match up with, but now you've gone through each 4.
You are right about that, because next year, the 2025 opponents at the Bills schedule are listed as 8 home and 8 away, and we know there's going to be a 17th game somewhere.
Right, and okay. It's not going to be the same thing as it's been, because who was the first team they did this with? The Rams? They went to the Rams.
Okay.
Remember? Because they matched up and you were on the road at the Rams. Well, you were home this year for your extra game. Next year, you would be on the road again, and the NFC West is up again. So what, just every 4 years, you're going on the road to the NFC West? And you'll always do that extra game against the NFC West will always be road, never home? That's why, like, I've looked, and I don't think that's out there for next year. It's like kind of a minute thing about the schedule.
Yeah.
So either way, long story short, it's either 19 or 20 is the max. So we should have a counter. It won't be more than 20.
And with the playoffs, if they make the playoffs next year, we will kind of know, depending on how the format goes, like this is the last one, or they're playing for another one, or they play a game and we say goodbye to Highmark, and then the 1 seed gets knocked off, and it's like, actually, the game is going to be at Highmark next
week. You know what would be weird about that, though, is like playoffs, you're not going to want to... You can't really celebrate the last game at Highmark beforehand because unless you're hosting the AFC Championship.
Bingo.
Okay, then you could do it. Because I was going to say they would probably do all the ceremonies and stuff for the last regular season game.
What a send-off that would be.
AFC Championship win? Next year?
Yes. I mean, host, but win.
Well, it wouldn't be a good send-off if you lose to the Chiefs.
No, that's right. That probably would not be. But being...
The final game in that building cannot be a loss to the Chiefs. Okay, I'm just saying that right... We're a year out. I'm declaring that right now. They cannot let the last game in that freaking building be a loss to Patrick Mahomes.
But it can be a loss to somebody else? Nah, I know.
It feels worse against them.
I know.
If they lose to the Jaguars, am I going to be that upset? I don't know.
803-0550. Yeah, so less than 20 games left at the current stadium. Say it like that seems like a big number.
Only two more against Miami, maybe.
Yeah.
And they've won once there in the last 13 years.
It is Football Friday. The Jets beat the Texans. Aaron Rodgers. Stat of the day on Aaron Rodgers. What he and Trent Edwards have in common when we return.
Stats. The stat of the day.
All right, so your stat of the day. The Jets won last night. Aaron Rodgers had a decent day, right? Not bad.
Yeah, he's fine. Although he had 32 yards in the first half.
Yeah. He's now gone 32 straight starts without throwing for 300 yards in any game. And that is the longest streak for a quarterback since Trent Edwards went 33 straight starts without 300 yards.
That sounds right. That sounds right to me.
Yeah.
33 straight.
300 yards is just something that should happen even if you're bad.
Yeah, like a game where you're down and you just kind of stack it up even.
Yeah.
And they've had games like that.
And the Bills had an unbelievable 300-yard passer drought that was like 10 times longer than the next closest team at times. Trent, 33 straight starts without a 300-yard game.
33.
And Rodgers not 32. Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Back into it next hour. We'll remember some Dolphins. Get to Chris Brown at 8:30 as we take you through towards Bills Dolphins. Sunday, 1 o'clock here on WGR.